This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
She may be a girl, but she is awesome. Let me tell you, I am so excited about this interview. You see, history will be made on Tuesday this week as DeWanna Witt will be sworn in as Hennepin County's first Black and first female sheriff. After learning of her election victory, Sheriff-elect Witt stressed her focus to combat violent crime. But what specific plans have been put together to accomplish this goal, right? Well, ahead of the historic swearing-in event, we are honored to have Sheriff-elect Witt join us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome, welcome to WCCO Radio. I'm so happy that you are joining us tonight.
Thank you, Jalen, for having me. I really appreciate it.
You will be sworn in on January 3rd. That's just like around the corner. And I got to ask you, have you stopped smiling? The smile I saw in the Star Tribune article, it's as though you said, thank goodness I made it here. You really wanted to do this, didn't you?
Yes, I did. You know, I've always just wanted to do the best I can, and I always have that servant leadership or that servant mentality where just doing good for others makes me feel good as an individual, as a person. So this is the topping of the cake right now.
It is the topping of the cake. How do you decide what is going to happen tomorrow or Tuesday as you prepare for this, as you know that, okay, the sworn is going to happen and I will be, right, the sheriff, the Hennepin County sheriff. How do you prepare for that?
You know, it's like every day, and I just take it as it comes. You know, I do believe in myself. I know I have a good support team, and, you know, I'm going to be focusing on not crying, actually, at that time, because it is important, and it is very meaningful. And, you know, I'm still in disbelief. I'm not sure if I felt the full effects of what has just happened with this election. But what I do know is that I have the passion and the know-how to do better, and that's exactly what I plan on doing.
You know, so many of us women, especially BIPOC, we know what it means to want to be in a position. But when you actually get there, how you deal with it from that initial moment is really sacred to so many. Tell me how you are looking forward to Tuesday and how you will begin that day.
Wow, that's a very good question. sorry, getting choked up now just even thinking and talking about it. But, you know, Tuesday morning, I'm going to do what I do every day. I'm just going to prepare myself to be the best version of me that I can be. You know, I've been really focusing on building relationships and building, like, that circle of strength, people with different walks of life, people who can encourage me. And make sure that I'm doing exactly what I need to do, what the people expect me to do, and just making sure I'm well-rounded. And so Tuesday morning, I just don't know how I'm going to deal with that day, but I'm going to just take it on and do my best to hold back tears of joy, if you will.
Right. And I hope you don't hold them back. I understand that you may want to. I get it. I would probably want to, too.
It's bad for your makeup,
I'm saying to you. Yeah, I know. Bring that powder thing, you know, the little puff, honey. Make it work. But here's the thing. The challenge is that as Black women, and we keep seeing our footsteps getting larger and larger in life, that is incredible. And you are a part of that. You are offering us that possibility because you did it, right? So you've already got people that will stand on your shoulders. They want to stand there with you and help you in any way you can. Tell us how we can help you in the great state of Minnesota, especially Hennepin County.
How can you help me? Well, it's not to help the communities, is to help me. You know, I know very well going into this that there will be people watching to see everything that I do, my decisions, how I move, basically. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that I won't get everything right, but I've never been one to let adversity take over me. You know, I'm a person who believes that we are successes not only by staying comfortable and sticking with what we know, but also by making decisions that need to be made. How can people help me is keep the communication flowing, and I promise to do the same. Let me know, what are your thoughts? How do the choices, the decisions that are made affect individuals and communities? You know, when we talk about even like our stakeholders, right? People who has a stake into just wanting us to be better. I believe that can happen. And I think, you know, when I hear people say, what are we missing in leadership? It's people that actually care about the work they do. Something I said along my campaign is that this isn't just a job for me. I really do care about what happens next. And I am willing to take on that responsibility of making sure I get us to a better place because I believe we can, and I believe we will. I've never been one to sit back and just critique. I'm a doer, and that's what I'm doing now. So, again, going back to your question about how people can help me, keep talking to me. Keep talking to me and let me know. Because it's not about me. It's not just one vision. This is all of our vision. This is everybody has a stake in this. Every resident of Hennepin County, every business owner, every visitor. And, you know, I have, again, the passion to want us to do better, and I know that we can. And so I just need to know that, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You just wanted to know.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, in Hennepin County, but you know, just even that representation, right? Because I was the little girl who didn't see any of this coming. I know what it feels like to feel helpless. I know what it feels like to when we have people that we believe are going to help us and protect us fail you. I know what that means. And so I strive to be the person that I needed to see, that I wanted to see. And I take this commitment to Hennepin County very seriously. And, you know, I just can't wait to get to work. I just can't wait to get to work. And, you know, it's one of those things how they say, I can show you better than I can tell you. So I look forward to showing the people that I am the right choice.
Hennepin County is deep and wide. We know this. And out of all of your time of studying and knowing and building relationships in Hennepin County, I can only imagine what that feels like when you're at the top of the heap. Because sometimes people look back and they think, well, you know, why does she run for that? Or maybe I should have run for that. And, you know, people start to question themselves because of what you have accomplished. What would the advice be for those African Americans or BIPOC communities who are saying to themselves, she did it, now how can I do it? What would you tell them?
Right. You know, I just swore in our first class of detention deputies here on Friday. And one of the things that I said to that class is remember the why. You know, I always surround myself with memorabilia, if you will, of the why, whether it's me helping victims or inspirational quotes and photos, but we have to remember the why. And so what I would say to people is remember why you want to do what it is you choose to do. It's been tough. these last few years have been overwhelmingly tough for the profession. But you have to remember why you're doing it. We can't lose that. And that's what I would say to inspire anyone who are facing adversity or questioning what it is they should be doing in their life. Remember why you want to do it.
Right.
And let that guide you into reaching your goals.
Are you hearing from the men that are there to support you as well, not just the women, but, you know, all that are interested in helping you lead the way? Are you hearing more from them? Are you excited to get started with those that are advocating for you?
Yes, I'm hearing from men and women alike. You know, the people who truly know me and know my heart, they know that I have stayed authentic and I stayed true to myself and I stayed true to this profession despite of all the things that have going on. I consider myself truly blessed that I have people that believe in me. They know my heart and they know that I am making this choice for all the right reasons. And that is helpful, but it's men and women alike. It's interesting, right? Though when you think about it, okay, it is going to be a woman leading the sheriff's office for the first time ever, and a black woman at that. I'm sure that makes some people nervous, like, oh my goodness, put your seatbelt on.
Right.
what does that mean?
Yeah.
But for the people who know me and have taken the time to get to know me, you know, it's funny because no matter who it's been that I sat in front of, no matter what their views, whether they're same or different, I've always seemed to do very well with winning people over, and I'm proud to say I did that by staying true to myself and to my beliefs, not by pretending to be someone that I am not. And that is more verification to me as to why I am the right person for this job.
Well, it's interesting to me, some of those same words were in part of the article where you were talking about your comments were saying, as a black person and woman to hold the office, I'm thinking about who did I just pave the way for? That was powerful for me.
Yeah.
I was so excited that you said that because you're already looking ahead. There's so many leaders that don't start there. So I just want to say congratulations, because that is very clear.
Thank you very much. And you know, we have to be, because you know what, our younger generation, they are watching. And to the adults, to elected officials, to every citizen, we have to do better. They deserve better. And you know, when you take on the responsibility of an elected office or any job, we need to remember why we're doing it, and it needs to be for the right reasons.
In the article, it also says that you were pulling together a transition team. Have you started?
Yes. My transition team has started, and I've had interviews as recent as last week, like second or third round interviews, so that is still in the making. You know, it's interesting because I don't take it lightly. And something that I said to the current administration there is, like, anything that reflects anything like a good old boy system is out the window with me. I want the right people with the same passion that I do, that I have, so that we can be successful. You know, it's not just the residents that I need to think about at Hennepin County, but it's also the staff. And, you know, when thinking like that, you have to think leadership. And if you are a leader who does not believe that we can do better and that we should do better, then you're not the right person for my team. So it's been a very meticulous process in making sure that I get the right people who have that same level of passion to match mine and want to do better, not only for the residents, but for the men and women who come into the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office every day. It has to be matching mine, because I do care, and I know that there's others like me.
It blows my mind that you will now be, you know, taken care of and leading 830 people, including about 330 licensed deputies. That's incredible. Did you watch someone, or were you very engaged with the last sheriff, and you got a chance to see how this works?
Well, I can say that I've worked under five sheriffs, right? I started my career with Sheriff McGowan at Hennepin County, then went on to Dakota County and worked under Sheriff Goodmanson, Bellows, Leslie, and then to come back to Hennepin County working under Hutch, Sheriff Hutchinson, if you will. But, you know, watching every leader or every person in those positions to see what worked for me and what didn't work for me. You know, it's interesting because when people don't like something, you tend to just throw that away. I'm a person right. who I put all tools in the toolbox because there's certain things, there's certain actions, there's certain ways in dealing with people that works with some and not for others. Works at certain times and not at other times. So you know, I always kept my eyes open, my ears open, and I can say that I am lucky to see so many different type of leadership skills, and I know exactly the type of leader I want to be.
I would love to meet you. Can I just say that? I'd love to just shake your hand. I think it's quite remarkable that you are now in this position.
Well, then we have to make it happen.
We have to make it happen because I'm standing tall, sitting down, and that's hard to do. Okay, final question for you. You talked about creating a separate advisory board focused on curbing crime mm-hmm. in Minneapolis because, of course, that's the largest city. And I'm just curious to know, how is that going? Are you thinking it through, or have you really started putting time in on making that come or bringing that to fruition?
So there's actually two advisory boards. You could say three. So the sheriff's offices typically do have citizen advisory boards. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I learned is that the people from advisory boards are usually handpicked. I want to know who's interested in being a part of this process. So, you know, I don't want to miss anybody. So there's going to be a process where asking people who are active and committed to their communities to be a part of that. Now, I'm not going without knowing that Minneapolis is a big, is going to have its own set of issues to talk with. So that's why it's like, okay, maybe I need a Minneapolis advisory board as well as the suburban advisory board where we don't always meet together. But just to make sure that everybody's voices is heard, because it was quite clear on the campaign trail that the suburbs were worried about things that are happening in Minneapolis taking resources from the suburbs. So I need to really figure that out to make sure that everybody, because my responsibility is to the entire county, is heard in those issues, whatever they may be, are heard. But there's something else important, something that's always been important to me, are our youth. I am also going to have a youth advisory board involving high schoolers mm-hmm. and hearing what through their lives, what they're seeing and what they need. You know, when we're talking about building bridges, and when we're talking about recruitment, even, if you will, whether it's indirect or direct, those are the type of things that we need to do. And so there will be a teenage advisory board as well.
Awesome.
And I do think that's important for bridging those gaps.
And I must say, when you mentioned the suburbs, here's the, you know, whether it's the suburbs, the exurbs, my challenge is that we don't get to hear much about what's really happening in many of those neighborhoods. And not all of it is good. And so a lot of times we don't know all the stats for a lot of those places. I hope it comes to a point where all of our stats are presented out front and honest, right? So we all know what positions we are in when it comes to our neighborhoods and our community. So that's just one thing I'd like to send that to you and just say, please, please consider that, because the more we know about each other, the more we know each other. So I really appreciate you joining us tonight. Major
right.
DeWanna Witt, Hennepin County Sheriff-elect, will become the sheriff on this Tuesday, January 3rd. Thank you so much, and I am looking forward to shaking your hand. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care. Be safe.
You too. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's one of our own, Major DeWanna Witt. And if you can go to the Star Tribune and read the article as well, I suggest that you do that. And if you find a way that you can reach out and actually get a chance to meet her, let me know. I'd like to know how that process goes as well. All right. We're going to take a break and come back and do some weather in just a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is 8:29, and of course you are listening to Still Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with a woman that I truly admire now. She sounds fearless to me, Jonathan. I don't know if you heard that, but her name is Major Dawana Witt, and of course that's Hennepin County Sheriff-elect, and I am excited to have spoken with her tonight. Now, coming up at 8:35 is Ruth Richardson. She's with the Minnesota State as a representative, District 52B, and she's also the CEO of Planned Parenthood North Central States. I am so looking forward to talking to her about the overturning of Roe versus Wade and so much more, so stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. Yes, you are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. My next guest is Ruth Richardson, Minnesota State Representative, District 52B, and CEO of Planned Parenthood North Central States. I don't know if you've known, but as 2023 starts, Planned Parenthood continues their longtime services with a changing political landscape, most notably the overturning of Roe versus Wade over the summer. This is the situation that State Representative Ruth Richardson now faces. This past September, Planned Parenthood of the North Central States announced that she would take over the organization from outgoing CEO Sarah Stace. Representative Richardson, who won a re-election in her seat in November, joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome, Ruth. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. My goodness, you are now CEO of Planned Parenthood North Central States. How do you feel?
I feel very hopeful and excited for what we're going to be able to do together. You know, it's been a hard year, and we've got some challenges, but we're up to those challenges.
We have to be up to those challenges. And I really hope that you will say yes to this question. I'm wondering, have you just heard from so many people from all over the great state of Minnesota, as well as some of the surrounding states, to hear about you taking over as the CEO? Have you heard from so many people?
Yes, I have had an incredibly warm welcome to the organization and have just had good wishes and good tidings from the five-state region. So I'm very grateful for that.
We are very grateful that you are here. My goodness. So as you look at where you have been and now where you are, what does that feel like to you?
Yeah, you know, thinking about 2022 was a hard year for a lot of reasons.
Amen.
And in some right? And in some ways, it was really unrelenting. You know, you alluded to Roe v. Wade being overturned, something that people saw as 50 years of, you know, of law that they didn't anticipate would be overturned. And so, I think with that overturning, it really created this really shifting landscape that we find ourselves in, where we're watching the courts, right? We're watching state legislatures and really just sort of understanding what this is going to mean for the long term.
And the long term, we know about it. We have stayed, you know, fiercely making sure that we know everything that's going on. But it's important. It seems like it's impossible to know everything that's going on when it comes to what you are doing now. And I'm just wondering, have you put together the teams that you need to really surround you to help bring all the information that you need? Because that is really a challenge, whether you are in corporations, small nonprofits, that sort of thing. It seems like women are having a harder time to get to the information they need in order to make a big, huge difference.
Yeah, there are definitely challenges to accessing healthcare and reproductive healthcare services. And so we've really been focused on ensuring that we are able to help people, you know, get to their appointments, you know, our abortion patients, continuing to provide mental health services, cancer screenings, STI screenings and treatments as well, and expanding our telehealth services because we know how important that access to healthcare is. And we also recognize that the abortion bans that are popping up around the nation, they don't ban abortions for everyone. They only ban abortions for people who don't have the means or the opportunity to travel for their health care.
Wow, I did not know that. I'm so glad that you told us that. That's important information. I'm curious to know, though, you are an attorney as well from Mendota Heights, and you are the first Black woman to lead Planned Parenthood in the region. That's remarkable. I don't know how you went to sleep after you found out you had this job. I lost sleep just for you.
Yeah, there. You know, it's humbling to be the first, and there's also a lot of responsibility that comes with being the first as well. And you know, as we're looking forward to 2023, we're just really focused on ensuring that we are breaking down the barriers for people to access their healthcare and their critical reproductive health services, because it's so important.
You know, speaking of those that have been breaking down these barriers, I know so many. I grew up in Gary, Indiana, and I am telling you, in a Black chocolate city, there were so many families that were really engaged in the conversation around abortion. And, you know, it was our mother's stories and our grandmother's stories that made a difference. And I know your stories that you heard from your mother and maybe some of the other elders of the family must have really made a change in you. Why is it that sometimes there are those that can do it. They can do more, but they won't do more because they don't have that set of stories. They don't have that connection with the elders and their loved ones throughout the decades. And I'm just curious to know if there is a way that you are considering making sure that people know these stories in order for them to be able to act on them.
You know, our stories are so important. And our histories and our legacies. My great grandmother was a traditional Black midwife. And, you know, growing up and hearing the stories of the work that she did when, you know, they talk about catching babies, but she did a lot more than that, right? Those traditional Black midwives, they were really important pieces of the community. They were prayer partners. They were loan officers. You know, they provided marital counseling, all types of things that really helped to kind of keep communities connected. And so the push out of those Black midwives, we continue to feel that impact today. And I just think that it's so important because when the stories that I grew up hearing about, you know, births, and they weren't all exciting, fun, happy stories. There were a lot of stories of trauma that were built out within that as well. And as we kind of fast forward to today, and we see that these abortion bans are popping up around the nation, it's important to understand the research tells us in states that ban abortion, we see maternal mortality rates increase And when we know that Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes, and this is a long-standing issue that we have within our community, we know that it's important to tell those stories so that we can break down those barriers to ensure that people have access to the full range of healthcare services that they need.
Wow. So as we move forward, as you move forward in this incredible, important position that you're in, I'm just curious to know, what is the first or the next, I should say? You've been working so hard for so long. I'm just curious to know, what is next for Planned Parenthood and for you?
Yeah, you know, as we are going into 2023, we are going to continue the work that we're doing to ensure that people can have access to health care. We've seen a 13% increase in patients traveling outside of our region to Minnesota and some of our surrounding states to access abortion care. And so we're going to continue to provide those patient navigators who really serve as travel agents to help to ensure people can get to those appointments. We're going to continue providing mental health services and working to break down the stigma that we see that, impacts not only access to abortion care, but also sexually transmitted infection, screening and treatments as well. And health equity is going to continue to be top of mind. You know, we believe that health care is a human right, and it's our responsibility to ensure that people can access the care that they need.
Speaking of access, I'm wondering if people want to donate, because as we hear more and more about what we should be doing, I think one of the best things we can do is donate. Where would people go? What should they go to in order to donate to Planned Parenthood?
Yes, you can come to our website on Planned Parenthood North Central States to donate. In terms of ensuring that we can continue to provide the services that we provide in terms of access to abortion care, cancer screenings, STI screenings, and mental health services, we would love to have that support, and it's needed now more than ever.
It is needed now more than ever. I commend you for doing what you are doing. If there is one last question I would have for you, is there anything you are most worried about in this new position?
You know, as I think about the worries that individuals who are facing barriers to accessing care, that's something that definitely weighs heavy, because we know that there are disparities and that there are inequities within our communities that can really be barriers to people being able to reach their optimal health. And so that commitment of health equity is one that weighs very heavy, but I think it's also an amazing opportunity for us to really be thinking about not only increasing access across our region, but ensuring that we are breaking down the barriers for those who are facing barriers in their own state as well. It's a heavy responsibility, but it's a commitment that we are going into 2023 focused on ensuring that we can succeed on.
Well, one thing I know after speaking with you is that your shoulders are very strong. And I know that, you in that song, you raise me up so I can stand on mountains. This is what you're doing. That's important. And I am so happy that you are in this moment, in this position. And if I can help in any way, please don't hesitate to contact me. Please don't.
Oh, I appreciate you so much, and looking forward to walking this journey with you. And thank you for all you do to lift up our communities as well.
All right, Ruth Richardson, what a pleasure. Thank you so much. All right, everyone, if you had a chance to experience what I just heard, I hope, too, that you were moved by it. There are women, and this is another African-American woman, first one in this position, and I tell you, it's really quite moving for me. I am a feminist in so many ways. And at the same time, I want to see women move up and forward continually. We've been doing it for decades now. And even though there are those who want to cut us off and turn us around and say, nope, gotta go back. We are just constantly moving forward. So congratulations. It's just quite remarkable. We're going to take a break and pay some bills. We'll be back. It is now 8:53. Oh, my goodness. I just realized, Jonathan, that so far tonight, my first guest was at 7:35, and now we're about to approach the 9 o'clock hour, and every guest so far has been women. That just kind of gave me chills. I didn't realize it until I was sorting out the papers, and I looked at each one. I went, oh, my goodness. These are women that are doing great things. And believe me, I'm not one of those that's trying to stop men from doing great things as well. I think we all need to get to greatness, to be the greatest we can be, right? So just learning or realizing that this is what has happened tonight. I am so excited about that. Of course, the first guest that's coming up for Center Stage, which is all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. My first guest will be Rick Thompson. So there will be a man in that particular set. But I'm just so surprised that there were that many women and so thrilled that there were that many women for those hours, the 7 o'clock and the 8 o'clock hour. So well done to you, Jonathan, and to Chris Tubbs, you guys doing making it happen. I'm just so grateful for that. Also, Gary Hines is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. There's a lot to talk about. You know, they are Grammy Award winning. They are doing great things, always putting out new music, and we're going to talk about that. But yeah, stay tuned. We're going to have a great time. I do want to say it one more time. If you are just now joining us, Michael Battlewood, my son, will not be joining us tonight for the Mom and Michael Hour. However, he is out of state. He's not in California and he's not here. But when he was here, I do want to tell you this. My son and my daughter decided, Jonathan, to offer me a down payment for my car. I needed a car. My 2008 Volvo was screaming. I mean, like, that sort of screaming. And I couldn't believe it. So I took it into Borden Volvo and I thought, okay, maybe it's time for me to get another car instead of trying to put $5,000 to $7,000 in the 2008 Volvo, which I loved. And I did. I got a car and I have to say, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that I don't have the screaming or the steering wheel was seizing up. It was just frustrating. So there you go. Aren't you proud of me that I did it?
Wait. Proud of you?
Yeah.
Proud of you. Wait a minute.
I mean, I'm proud of my children. Don't get me wrong. This was like the greatest Christmas gift. Oh my gosh. Just well, other than
having my grandchildren. Who put the down payment on the car?
I know, and Joey did too. So it was Michael, Joey, and Venice that did that.
That sounds fantastic.
I
want to congratulate them.
Well, me too. I understand that. I'm just saying to you though. It's just my son got in my car, the 2008 Volvo, and he said, "That's it, Mom. Tomorrow we have to buy a car. We have to do it. You have to get another car. Don't start putting $7,000 into it. Just you have to get a car." So I feel so blessed. What a blessed Christmas it has been. And what an incredible New Year's we will have. I believe 2023 is going to render truth to all of us. I really believe that. So there you go.
That sounds ominous.
Come on, Jonathan. Not so at all.
It will not enlighten us. It won't give us foresight. It will render truth on us. Yikes.
All right, everyone. Coming up next is Center Stage. Rick Thompson is going to take it because he is now the History Theater's next artistic director. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 8:53. Oh, my goodness. I just realized, Jonathan, that so far tonight, my first guest was at 7:35, and now we're about to approach the 9 o'clock hour, and every guest so far has been women. That just kind of gave me chills. I didn't realize it until I was sorting out the papers, and I looked at each one. I went, oh, my goodness. These are women that are doing great things. And believe me, I'm not one of those that's trying to stop men from doing great things as well. I think we all need to get to greatness, to be the greatest we can be, right? So just learning or realizing that this is what has happened tonight, I am so excited about that. Of course, the first guest that's coming up for Center Stage, which is all things arts and entertainment, we just believe you ought to know about it. My first guest will be Rick Thompson. So there will be a man in that particular set. But I'm just so surprised that there were that many women and so thrilled that there were that many women for those hours, the 7 o'clock and the 8 o'clock hour. So well done to you, Jonathan, and to Chris Tubbs, you guys doing making it happen. I'm just so grateful for that. Also, Gary Hines is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. There's a lot to talk about. You know, they are Grammy Award winning. They are doing great things, always putting out new music, and we're going to talk about that. But yeah, stay tuned. We're going to have a great time. I do want to say it one more time. If you are just now joining us, Michael Battlewood, my son, will not be joining us tonight for the Mom and Michael Hour. However, he is out of state. He's not in California and he's not here. But when he was here, I do want to tell you this. My son and my daughter decided, Jonathan, to offer me a down payment for my car. I needed a car. My 2008 Volvo was screaming. I mean, like, that sort of screaming. And I couldn't believe it. So I took it into Borden Volvo and I thought, okay, maybe it's time for me to get another car instead of trying to put $5,000 to $7,000 in the 2008 Volvo, which I loved. And I did. I got a car and I have to say, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that I don't have the screaming or the steering wheel was seizing up. It was just frustrating. So there you go. Aren't you proud of me that I did it?
Wait. Proud of you?
Yeah.
Proud of you. Wait a minute.
I mean, I'm proud of my children. Don't get me wrong. This was like the greatest Christmas gift. Oh my gosh. Just well, other than
who put the down payment on the car?
I know, and Joey did too. So it was Michael, Joey, and Venice that did that.
That sounds fantastic.
I was bawling.
I want to congratulate them.
Well, me too. I understand that. I'm just saying to you though, it's just my son got in my car, the 2008 Volvo, and he said, "That's it, Mom. Tomorrow we have to buy a car. We have to do it. You have to get another car. Don't start putting $7,000 into it. Just you have to get a car." So I feel so blessed. What a blessed Christmas it has been. And what an incredible New Year's we will have. I believe 2023 is going to render truth to all of us. I really believe that. So there you go.
That sounds ominous.
Come on, Jonathan. Not so,
render truth.
At all.
It will not enlighten us. It won't give us foresight. It will render truth on us. Yikes.
All right, everyone. Coming up next is Center Stage. Rick Thompson is going to take it because he is now the History Theater's next artistic director. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.